Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging around with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com. It's Entrepreneur Nirvana. Just check it out when you get a chance. A lot of cool things that you can do there, whether you are a business owner or if you're an employee, you can find some things there as well. If you're an employee of a small business, and if you want to be a small business owner, I think you'll find a lot of good stuff that will help you out there. Let me reintroduce you to, I should say, our good friend Don Boudreau, who's our good friend, been with us as a member of our Brain Trust for a long time. He's the chairman of the economics department at George Mason University, a very prestigious position in academia. And as I said, he's our friend, Don Boudreau. Welcome to the show.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always, because one of the things that that I do, just when I think I'm a pretty good free trader, I have to get a shot of in the arm from my good friend, Don Boudreau, because I can never be as good a free trader as you are, Don. And what
yes,
I told
you, can. We'll work on it.
but you know, I'm a true believer. I just don't have the, you know, maybe I just haven't been thinking about it as long as you have. But I have learned a lot from you, and I'd like for you to help me help our small business owners reconcile this issue of free trade. And there are a few things we want to talk about. One of the things I want you to do is I want you to help us continue what I'm calling an honest debate on the job situation, not only in America, because you cannot discuss the job situation in America without discussing jobs around the world, can you?
Well, America is part of a global economy, and so that's true, of course. I mean, in a way, drawing borders around America economically is rather artificial. Those borders don't exist to a large extent, and that's what free trade is. I favor that. I'm happy about that.
Right. No question.
Yeah. But you mentioned an honest debate, and I think the debate has been much more hysterical than honest. In my view, Jim, in fact, I just know it's true. The job situation today, while not as ideal as we'd like it, or even as it potentially can be, is nowhere near as dire as the popular discussion makes it out to be. To listen to people like Lou Dobbs and some of the politicians, you'd swear that our economy is in the tank. We still have an unemployment rate that is among the lowest in the industrialized world, 5.6%. It's higher, that rate, than it was at the peak of recent events back in March of 2001, but that was the bubble economy.
Isn't it also higher than the average for the 70s, 80s, and 90s?
Oh, you mean the unemployment rate?
Unemployment rate, I should say, yeah.
The unemployment rate, I don't know about the 90s. It's certainly lower.
I heard the other day that it was even the average in the 90s.
That may be true. That may be true. I can't verify that. But
and isn't it also true that there are more people working today than in the United States than ever before?
Yes, the number of jobs has not declined. The ratio I prefer to use is not the unemployment rate. I prefer to use the ratio of the how many people are working to the size of the adult population, the population over 16. And that ratio is about 61.2 right now, which is actually higher than it has been throughout the 80s and for most of the 90s, it's lower than it was 2 years ago. But again, that's just because we had a bubble economy. This idea that jobs are disappearing from America is simply not true. There is no evidence for it. There's no evidence that there's no job creation. Some jobs are indeed lost, but other jobs are created to take their place.
But what do we say? Here's the thing. See, I think all of those things. That's you know, a lot of what you just said is empirical data. I mean, most of it is fact that can be identified and can be traced to you know, to some research that's definable and provable. But what do we say to the people who are not only out without a job, but the job that they used to have is never going to exist in the United States again.
Yeah, that is the ultimately difficult question for anyone who supports free trade. You know, you could have asked the blacksmith in 1900. You know, what are you going to do now that automobiles are coming on?
But here's what happened, though. They went to work in an automobile plant. In other words, the job that I've heard that argument. I mean that explanation before, and I've made that explanation, but. In where I think we're different now than in past, Don, is that the people who have lost their jobs are less likely to find a place with their current skills to go to work than happened 100 years ago. And when we come back after these messages, I'm going to get you to respond to that. Right after these messages, we'll be back with Don Boudreau. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Don Boudreau is our guest. And Don, that song's for you.
Is that right?
It's our fifth anniversary.
Yeah.
It's our fifth anniversary.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
you were on the show 5 years ago for the first time, and just want to celebrate that a little bit. Happy anniversary, and we appreciate all the time and the effort and the energy and the brain power you've and the wise debate that you brought to our show. We appreciate it very much.
Always been a pleasure.
Okay, I made the comment that I wanted you to respond to because I said that you know the technology that's been available that's taken us from where 25% of Americans were involved in agriculture to only 2 or 3% involved in agriculture. I mean, all those people who used to work on the farm, they went to town and went to work for plants or all the businesses that sprang up.
Yeah, and
but where do these plant workers go, Don? That's the problem.
But jobs are not disappearing. The you know, new industries are being created. You know, in much more productive areas. There's no look, Jim. It's always possible that the world will be completely different or so different from the past that the past is no guide. What I know is the following: two things. Never in the past has free trade ever led to a reduction in the employment rate, any significant reduction. In short term, yes, sure. Mm-hmm. but that's where we are right now, isn't it? Right, exactly. And a second thing, if you look at the data, and this is very clear, the more open is a country to foreign trade, the wealthier it is. And economists have studied this and over and over and over again, and it is consistent. A sure way to keep your country in poverty is to close it off
right.
out of fear.
That's exactly one
thing I'd like to say to a lot of the people who argue for protectionism, and I mean this, they actually have a very insulting view of the American worker. Their view of the American worker, of the typical American worker, is that he or she can do one thing really, really well, and if that one job in that one firm or one industry disappears, that American worker is no more productive than a Somali grave digger.
Can't be competitive.
Mm-hmm. And of course, each individual differs, but there's a reason why almost all Americans get wages that are the envy of the world, and that's
right.
because Americans are productive, they're energetic, they're optimistic,
entrepreneurial.
We have a good investment climate that encourages people to create new industries and new jobs.
But here's the thing, Don. What we've got to do is, instead of politicians blaming other politicians because somebody doesn't have a job, why can't we have this honest debate and say, okay, we are in a period of time that's unprecedented. We're in a period of time when we do have people, we have record employment, and in fact, many companies can't find enough people to hire in the jobs that they need, but yet we've got people out of work. We've got a disconnect between the capability of some employees and the jobs that are available. We've got a disconnect there. Why can't we focus our energies and our debate on how to solve that?
I have a very cynical view about that. I agree with you, Jim, except for saying it's unprecedented. I don't think the time is unprecedented. That we have had lots of periods.
When has there been a time that compares to this in terms of the disconnect between the jobs that are available and the workforce that's unemployed?
The post-Civil War period in America is one example. Is a period of tremendous economic change, involving foreign trade, but many new industries were arising, and there was a lot of discontent throughout the country. There were people then saying the same things they're saying now. Said, "Gee, you know, how can someone who was a local butcher, say in Philadelphia, how can he find a job now
at
that
plant.
He shipped in from Chicago?"
Mm-hmm.
The 1930s, of course, I think were then we had real job loss,
right?
Largely
because of protectionist policies of
the
early 30s.
That certainly hurt.
Smoot-Hawley.
We got the Smoot-Hawley tariff, which was then the big, and still is, the largest single tariff increase in American history. No one doubts that it created great havoc.
Mm-hmm.
But my answer to your question, cynical question, is the reason we don't have it is because, frankly, politics is too often about scoring debating points and
sound bites for the day.
Sound bites, and not about seeking truth.
Where's the leadership, Don? Where are we going to find the leaders who will really help us solve problems instead of just, I mean, where are we going to find, how can politics turn into part of the solution, not part of the problem? How are we going to do that? Am I naive to think that we could do that?
I feel bad in saying I think you are.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
I'm very discouraged by that. I mean, I think we've had
the lack of leadership.
Yeah, it really is. I hope I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong.
And why doesn't a guy like Lou Dobbs? I mean, he's not. I didn't think he was a dummy. I used to not think he was a dummy. Why does
he's acting like one now?
Well, actually, I kind of changed my mind when he went to space.com. Space.com, but now he's acting like somebody who doesn't really understand what the problem is.
He doesn't. He does not. And moreover, he is. I think he's not honest in his debate. I heard him the other night on television say something like, to one of his guests, you accuse me of favoring tariffs. Have you ever heard me call for tariffs? And everybody knows that's what he wants, but he kind of shifts and dodges about just what his solution would. He never offers a real solution.
Right.
He
no,
just
no. You're
complains.
Right. You're right.
And so, and
John,
that,
stand
that,
by.
Definitely not leadership.
Stand by. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, folks, there is an area that's popped up recently, and that's the small manufacturers having difficulty competing for contracts against the bigger companies that can outsource. These are small business manufacturers. I want to get Don to ask to tell us what we're going to do about those folks. They got some problems right now. Ten Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Don Boudreau is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the chairman of the economics department at George Mason University, one of the most prestigious economics departments in the world. And Don, tell us a little bit about George Mason and your department.
Oh, we have two Nobel Prize winners. We do, I think, the most interesting economics in the world. I had a young man come into my office yesterday. He's a graduate student at the University of Nebraska, and he came into my office. He wants to transfer to George Mason. He says economics in most places are really, they do it in a really boring way. He says, "You guys, you are excited about economics. You love economics. You have Walter Williams. You have Nobel Prize winners." He says, "This is where I want to study economics."
And I'll be darned.
"You're right, boy." He said, "Put that application in."
That's right. Let me put you on a commercial here. Tell us how we can, if somebody wanted to look at your department and your university, how would they contact you? How would they find out about
you? You can go to www.gmu, that's George Mason University, gmu.edu,
right,
/departments/economics.
Okay.
And that'll take you right there, and we have a lot of different pages on our economics webpage, and you can find our faculty and find out what we're about.
If somebody was financially challenged, can you help them out with it? Can you
sure,
guys get any help on that?
Absolutely. We have a lot of fellowships.
Good.
Scholarships.
Good. Check that out, folks, when you get a chance. It's anything Don Boudreau has to do with is top shelf. Don, you introduced me to somebody, and you you sent me some books on who's your hero, and he's become one of my heroes. That's Frederick Bastiat, and I call him the great 19th century French economist and comedian, and he said this. I'm paraphrasing a little bit of what he said. He said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And when I think about the fact that China and Russia are now pointing ships at us and not missiles, and we're pointing ships at them and not missiles, and other places around the world, when I think about the kind of trade that's going on all over the world, and I think about the peace dividend that we could accrue from that, that's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Absolutely right, and very well said. It does hurt to lose a job, right? But it hurts a heck of a lot more to lose your life or to lose a loved one in war. And we know that wars destroy economic opportunity and prosperity, and that trade enhances those things.
And you know, another thing, Governor Pete DuPont was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about this, and we were talking about the outsourcing to India. He said all those people over there use computers that were made in America. They use telephone systems that were made in America. They use, you know, other things. They watch movies that were made in America.
And keep this in mind, too, Jim, is that the reason companies do that is to keep their costs low. It's a very competitive environment. So when their costs fall, the competition forces them to lower their price. That means consumers spend less money, American yep. consumers spend less money than they would otherwise have to, which frees up money for them to spend on other goods and services that they could otherwise not buy.
Well, anybody also who has a problem with outsourcing doesn't understand what an international company is. I mean, these companies that just were founded in the United States and are based in the United States, these are international companies who do business all over the world. They've got a right to look for goods and services where they operate their businesses.
Absolutely, and it follows from that that if we take strong steps to prevent outsourcing or make it more costly than it has to be, then what happens in the future is companies that otherwise might set up in the U.S. to create employment, they will go elsewhere.
Well, go ahead.
They won't create. They just won't create any jobs here to begin with.
Here's an example. What if you were required to buy all your gas in your hometown, even though you traveled all over the state, you had to come back and buy gas only in your hometown?
Yeah, it would be awful.
It's the same thing. I only got a little more than a minute. The small manufacturers of America are really having a tough time, apparently, competing with their bigger business, the bigger manufacturer brothers and sisters out there who can outsource more readily than the small ones, and they're having trouble competing for contracts. Don, how do we deal with that?
I don't have any magic recipe. My solution to those kinds of issues is to make sure taxes are as low as possible, especially on capital gains. To review and get rid of absurd regulations, and heaven knows we certainly have a lot of those things.
That costs small businesses twice as much as big businesses.
And as a proportion of their budgets, even more.
Yeah.
And so those things do especially hurt small businesses, and most of them are inexcusable. And so get rid of those, and then let those small businesses compete with big businesses, and, you know, who can outsource or who can't, on their own terms. And if a larger business can prevail in those circumstances, I say more power to it. But the only way that we can really know that the larger business is as efficient is if we get rid of a lot of these ridiculous regulations that do
yep.
impact smaller businesses more heavily.
Absolutely. Don Boudreau, well said and well done today. Thank you very much, and congratulations on our 5-year anniversary. We appreciate your time over the years.
My pleasure, Jim. Look forward to the next time.
Look, we are too. Thank you very much. Don Boudreau, ladies and gentlemen, the chairman of the Economics Department at George Mason University. That's gmu.edu. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.